Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
March in Vermont. By late February, the sun has started getting seriously hot again. And now, sure, there's snow on the ground, but the amount of sunlight this time of year is equivalent to late September. The last few days, I haven't used a stick of wood or burned a bit of propane to heat the house or hot water. It's been all solar, all the time. John Michael Greer has an essay this week at his blog, The Archdruid Report, that's appropriate for this season of warming sunlight. Greer calls it an exergy crisis. Okay, exergy is a word I have a hard time relating to, or even remembering what it means. So let's chuck the word and talk about highly concentrated energy, or less concentrated energy. What does that mean? Well, a gallon of gasoline is highly concentrated energy. Say it can run an efficient car for 50 miles. Cars have also been configured to run on wood fuel. It would just take more pounds of wood than pounds of gasoline to run the car the same distance. Gasoline is more concentrated energy than wood. Sunlight is even less concentrated. Each day, a lot more energy strikes the Earth in the form of sunlight than humans use in fossil fuels. It's just too diffuse to be used for many things. A jetliner, for example, needs far more concentrated energy than sunlight. If you cover a 727 with solar panels, you'll only harvest a tiny fraction of the energy the plane burns. The same is true with cars, trucks, trains, backhoes, and other earthbound machinery. The less concentrated energy of sunlight works perfectly well, however, for many applications. It's well suited for heating domestic water to the 120 Fahrenheit needed, or raising it part of the way to that temperature so a hot water heater has less work to do. Diffuse sunlight also works well to heat homes to the 60 or 65 or 70 degrees Fahrenheit that most people find comfortable. John Michael Greer's general point is that efficiency plus all of these uses of low concentration energy can help the transition to a society using much less highly concentrated energy. Fossil fuels are becoming more scarce, and solar energy is unlikely to provide all the services we get from them now. As James Howard Kunstler points out, we're not going to run Walmart, the interstate highway system, and Disney World on any combination of solar, wind, hydro, or biofuels. But we're using scarce, highly concentrated energy now in many areas where the abundant, diffuse energy of sunlight would work just fine. Amory Lovins famously says that heating a house with electricity from a nuclear plant is like cutting butter with a chainsaw. He means that the process involves heating the reactor core to thousands of degrees in order to generate electricity to heat a house to 65 degrees. Greer makes a stronger point. Even heating a boiler in your basement with an oil or gas flame at hundreds of degrees to heat the house or hot water is like, well, I don't know, maybe cutting warm butter with an electric carving knife. Strangely, Greer doesn't mention what I think of as the most compelling reason to substitute sunlight for fossil fuels in heating, hot water, and even cooking if you use a solar oven. It locks in your fuel costs. Here in the Northeast, we often lock in a price on our winter oil or propane during the summer to insulate us from price hikes during the heating season. Investing in solar heat or hot water means locking ourselves into free fuel for decades. Even at today's prices, efficiency and solar heat and hot water are good deals. When oil climbs up above $100 a barrel again, those who have locked in free fuel will be even more pleased they made the investment. I'm Carl Ettnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.